Hey, everyone. Welcome to the House Church Podcast. This is Pastor Jamie here. I'm so glad you decided to join us for today's broadcast. Every time we come together as a church, people encounter God. So my prayer is that you too would experience His presence and hear His voice for yourself. Please enjoy today's message.
Thank you for that, all you're doing in the midst of us. God, I'm so grateful, Lord, for your graciousness towards us. Lord, that you are the one who goes before us and you prepare the way that we might walk in it. You're a good father. You teach us, Lord. You lead us. You provide for us. Lord, in every way, you're the best version of a father, and we're so grateful. And we just invite you today, Lord, would you come by your Holy Spirit, and would you breathe on our time together? Would you breathe into each heart, that each person would encounter you in a personal and very real way, Lord? God, we don't need religion. We don't need more nonsense, God. We absolutely, though, need you. We need your presence. We need the clarity that your wisdom brings. Lord, your conviction, your empowerment, everything you do, Lord, is what sustains us. We move and we have our being within you. And so, Lord, I just proclaim that over us. Invite you, Lord, come. Let the power of your presence be in this place today. Let the power of your presence touch lives today. Is there anybody agreeing with this prayer? I don't know where I'm at here. Lord, I am asking God for breakthroughs. Listen, in worship, I felt like I kept seeing people get healed, and so I don't want to ignore that. So Lord, I thank you that you are healing people today. And so we speak to that right now. Listen, if you need a miracle in your body, if you're needing healing. Now I don't want the excuse of like, oh, it's just a cold, it'll be fine. No. If the Lord could touch you today and heal you, and you would be restored in any way, if that's you, would you just lift up your hand right now? Just wave at me. Okay, a whole bunch of us. All right, can you just lean over, just put a hand on someone's shoulder? If it's appropriate, you can hold their hand or whatever, okay? But we're going to pray for one another right now. We're praying that the Lord would heal them. So I want you to announce to them the finished work, that the Lord is healing them. Okay, so just declare it over them. Jesus heals you. Father in heaven, we thank you that you've provided for this. And so, Lord, we're praying that you would touch each person's physical body, Lord, that you would heal them, you would restore them. Come on, go ahead and just pray for that person. Just out of your own words, just go for it. Just pray for them real quick. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, do what only you can do. God, I am earnestly desiring that you would manifest healing in the midst of us today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Scripture says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but Lord, I thank you that people do not need to be afraid of hoping you would heal them. You don't need to be afraid of that. Press into it. He will not disappoint. Okay? Lord, we lean into you today. God, I thank you that you would rebuke cancer off of people's lives today. Where someone has received a diagnosis, we proclaim that cancer, you go in Jesus' name. We cancel your assignment. You have no power in their life. The Lord rebuke you. Thank you, Jesus. Man, there's like a condemnation thing. So this is what, I'll just share what I'm seeing. There's a deception. Like you feel condemned because you made choices and the result is sickness. But you need to know that sickness is not from the Lord and that it doesn't have power. That even though you may have made choices that really have led to a consequence, you need to know the Lord has mercy on you and he forgives you and he releases you. And so, Lord, we release mercy over each one, even, Lord, if the what they're facing is a result of their choice, Lord, we decree your mercy. It triumphs over judgment. Somebody's needing a get out of jail free card today, okay? Lord, we decree it today in Jesus' name. Mercy. The one whose heart has been condemned, the one who continues to condemn themselves, we break the power of that in Jesus' name. We declare your mercy over them, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just discreetly, if that's speaking to you, would you just wave at me real quick? If that was speaking to you this morning, yeah, okay. Lord, your mercy. Your mercy. He sets the prisoners free. He sets the prisoners free. If you're needing a jailbreak today, come on, receive this. He sets the prisoner free. He has mercy on you. I'm not talking to someone else. I'm talking to you. The Lord release you. Thank you, Father. God, I just commit the rest of the service to you in Jesus' precious name. If you agreed with that, you said, amen. All right. Thanks for hanging with me in that moment. I know it's a little bit. We don't always do a lot of ministry from the front. I really love to see you guys praying for each other. I totally believe in the stage, like ministering to people. I think that's part of the deal. But there is something so beautiful and wonderful when the body of Christ ministers to itself. And I'll tell you that I really believe that there is a breakthrough available for you that has nothing to do with the stage. It actually has to do with you opening your heart to one another. That God wants to provide, he wants to release, he wants to make provision for situations you're facing, he wants to make provision for resource lack, and the Lord wants to do it through people. It's not just the dancing hand of God or the somehow this, you know, the supernatural authority that has to do this. The Lord releases provision and he does it in the body so that when we connect with one another, there's life. Are you alive? We really do need each other, y'all. We really do need each other. So I don't do a lot of ministry from the front, just literally because we encourage and we want you guys to be praying for each other. Amen? Okay, all right. All right, if you got a Bible, would you please open to Genesis chapter 1? We are going to continue the conversation that we started a couple weeks ago on creativity and wisdom. And so this is a passionate subject for me, and I know that I could just get going, and I won't need the notes, I won't need anything, actually. You're not busy this afternoon, right? We just keep going? We started the conversation 2 weeks ago, and I'll try to recap it here in just a moment, just a little bit of it as foundation. But we're going to continue this conversation up through the first weekend of May. And the reason is because first weekend of May, we're hosting an event here called the Create Conference. Okay, yep. I'll tell you that about 5 years into the church's existence, so the church is now 18 years old, so, you know, 13 years ago, we hosted an event called the Create Conference. And it was the first event that we had done of this kind. And the emphasis was unlocking creativity for the body, and that's important. And we didn't really know what we were getting ourselves into, okay? When you touch this subject, stuff starts to happen, okay? This subject has supernatural ramifications, all right? I'll tell you, when we hosted this event and we leaned into the topic of creativity, afterwards, there was an unusual amount of people inventing things, songs being written, businesses being started, 2 churches were planted, missions unlocked for people. Like, it's an overflow. As soon as you touch this subject, because the Lord wants to breathe on this for you, there is a divine, supernatural momentum that's meant to come on your life. And when we touched the subject, that's what began to happen. And so we did it again. The second year, we did this event again, and the same thing happened. This avalanche of stuff began to erupt. People started doing stuff, and it was amazing. I felt like we were supposed to pause, cultivate what had been released, and then move forward. And so we paused, and we hadn't done the event since, and we're doing it again this year because the Lord showed me that we are coming to the close of one season, and we must sow new seed in the ground to have a harvest in the coming season. We are called to cultivate something new, and there is something new coming. And so it's important in this season, do not just sit back and just do what you've always done. Be open to the Lord speaking to you and causing you to initiate something new. Okay? Look at your neighbor and go, something new. Okay? Something new. God's got something new for you. I'm a poet and I didn't know it. Something new for you. Okay? Genesis 1 is where we started last week, and we'll pick it up right here. This is Genesis 1, verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Everyone say the word likeness. Okay? This is more than Adam and Eve were pretty because they looked like God. Okay? This is the nature of who God is being imparted to humanity. Let us do it according to our likeness. Let them rule over the sea, the sky, and the land, and over everything that creeps on the earth. Next verse. God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue and rule. Subdue is the word kibosh. Has anybody ever had the kibosh put on them? I was an older brother by 8 years. I had twin younger brothers. I kiboshed them all the time to demonstrate my rule over them. Okay, to kibosh is to force into submission. To rule is to have authority over that which willingly submits to you. But all of this is related to the image of God. God gave Adam and Eve a role in the earth. They are to rule. But that rule came through doing, participating in the divine nature. So the question is, what is the likeness that God created man after? And this is, we went into this, in depth last week. I won't rehash it again today, but it's that God is a creator. And that when he made Eve in his image, he made them also co-creators. We are to co-create with Christ. We are to steward the divine nature, which is seen and demonstrated in what we create. Authority, wisdom, and creativity are all linked together, and this was the purpose of the previous sermon, okay? Again, I'm going to point you back towards that. If you want to hear all that, you should go there. But authority is unlocked by creativity. They don't feel related, but they are deeply related. The expansion or the growth of authority, you increasing in authority, requires you to create something. If you make something, you are the Lord over it. If you write a song, no one else can tell you what to do with that song. You have authority over that song. In that manner, it doesn't matter how large it is, if you build a business, if you created the business, you are the Lord, small l, over that business, right? You're in charge. No one else can tell you what to do because you are the one who created it. Therefore, you have authority. This is one of the ways that God expands humanity's authority in the earth, is that we create. The divine nature of to be a creator is so life-giving. It is part of who you are destined to be. And I'm not talking about artistic expression, although that's wonderful. Like if you can paint, do it. Amazing. You know, I do stick drawings, you know, like a little, it's not me. My daughters are amazing at the arts, you know, and they clearly take after someone other than me. You know, my wife is very creative. I might not be artistic, but I am called to be creative. You might not be artistic, but you are called to steward authority to create. Okay, I won't belabor this, but I'll tell you this is part of your calling. Okay, say that over yourself. My calling is in creativity. It's true. Okay. Well, Keel, if you keep doing that, you're in trouble, okay? Authority and wisdom and creativity all go hand in hand. Wisdom is knowing what to do, and the function of wisdom, the scripture says that God partnered with wisdom to create the creation. That the ways of God, his wisdom, is seen in how he created. And so when you and I partner with heaven and we learn God's ways and we grow in wisdom, creativity is a part of this. God's authority expands within us as we create and we walk according to his ways. This thing is a package deal. It's all linked together, and it unlocks resource. It brings transformation. The very things that we are called to do as followers of Christ require us functioning in creativity and wisdom. Okay. If creativity is one of the places authority is rooted in, and the Lord has called the body of Christ to disciple the nations, to expand his rule, his kingdom, to draw the nations under the lordship of Jesus so that all the enemies of the Lord are put as a footstool for him. If we, the body of Christ, are meant to do this, then we must learn how to engage creativity far more strongly than we are currently. There's an invitation there, and the Lord is breathing on this generation for its purpose. Okay, all that to say, the old is passing away, yeah? The new has come. The last generation, if you are over the age of 50, congratulations. We love you. I'm not going to designate you as old. I'm going to designate you as a father. Anybody alive? You're a father, you're a mother in the faith, okay? Much better than saying old men have dreams, young men have visions. We go dads and moms dream and children and vision. Okay, the older generation, think about this. This is the moment we're in right now. The older generation, the ones in their 50s, 60s, 70s, these are the ones who started businesses that you work in. All your CEOs are old, are of the older generation. The church planters, I mean, one of the deals of the modern church era right now is that we have pastors who are in their 60s, 70s. Nothing wrong with that. It's just that when you plant the church, you initiate it, you're the one that created, you're the one that has authority. And so what happens when the older begins to step back and they're passing on what they created to the next generation? There is a moment there where we are in danger of the authority not being passed on. Instead, we just pass on a process. I need you to think like this, okay? We need thousands of church planters. We need a whole new missions movement initiated, not just followed up on. We need inventors to show up right now. You know, people predict, they look at like the are you guys okay? Sorry. I'm not really using my notes. We'll just roll with it. It's okay. I've given myself a couple weeks for this. It's fine. When we look at the body of Christ, who is called to be creative, to initiate, to walk in authority, to disciple the nations. And we have a move of God in previous generations that caused young people, Think like Jesus People movement. Think the charismatic Catholic movement. Think Lutheran renewal. When those things were initiated in the 60s and 70s, all your leaders that we think of right now as leaders, maybe you can name some people, those people have been doing this, and they stepped into authority and they grew. But as they have aged, when we're looking at what's coming next, there seems to be a void. What's next? What's on the horizon? We've had a few things pop up, but mostly right now we have a void. And we're watching the church sort of, I don't know, I mean, the way that the world talks about it is if the church is fading. Churches are closing, you know, the population that attend church are all shrinking. This is Christianity on its way out in America? No, it just needs to be reborn. There's a movement that must come up. It needs to be a grassroots movement. 60s and 70s saw the Jesus People movement and all them crazy hippies and teenagers on fire for Jesus, going for it, and they initiated something new. And as a result, we are living in an era that was created by those people. And maybe you're some of them. Praise God. Love you. Thank you for doing that. Young people, it's time. I planted this church when I was 27. Can you imagine following a 27-year-old? I can't. Did you know, though, the majority of the congregation were like youth students from the previous youth group I led worship in? It's true. I mean, we had a congregation of like 15 and 16-year-olds. And that's how we birthed the church. Man, we had no money. Of course, we didn't have money as 15-year-olds. But we were passionate for Jesus. We stepped out. We were going for it. We're on fire. And as a result, we watched as the Lord brought provision. I don't know what the Holy Spirit has put on your heart for the days ahead for you, but it is never too late to create a new beginning. Never. And the Lord is at work in our day. Hallelujah. There are a few ways that we initiate creativity. A few catalysts that are sort of, they're hidden catalysts. They're not the things that you would think about when you think about how do I become creative. But I want to point a few of these out to you today, because these are the kinds of things you can fan the flame of, and the Lord unlocks something to you. This is Psalms chapter 84. If you turn there, Psalms 84, we're going to do verses 1 through 4. It's a strange verse to be talking about creativity through, but you'll get it in a second. Let me lay a foundation for you. King David was a passionate worshiper. We know this because of the expressions that we see. I mean, when they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, it literally says that David danced his clothes off. He just had a tunic. It was embarrassing for everybody, but he is dancing and worshiping. And he says about himself, you think this is undignified? Just wait. I can become even more undignified than this. I am so passionate about worshiping, you can't hold me back. This is who David was, this passionate king. David creates something called David's Tabernacle. Anybody ever heard of it? Okay. Did you know that the worship system that David created was illegal? Totally illegal. It doesn't make any sense that you would do what you did. In the wilderness, Israel has come out of slavery, and Moses is leading them across the wilderness, and God's introducing himself to them. I am your God. God shows Moses the way you're supposed to worship God. God gives Moses a very detailed picture of the system of worship and how they're supposed to do it, what it's supposed to look like. And Moses calls the people to it, articulates the vision. It's a court system. There's structure to the worship. There are specific roles, specific ways that you worship. If you don't do it, you die. If you go into the Holy of Holies, you got the outer court, this inner court, and the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant and God's presence is resting. If you just wander in there, you're dead. You're dead. The holiness of God cannot, it's not something to trifle with. It's not a toy. God's presence would kill people for not being prepared or doing it the way it's not supposed to be done. David's bringing the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem, and they have it on a cart. And the cart jostles, and the Ark of the Covenant, God's presence, is about to fall off. And one of David's friends reaches out, and he steadies the Ark. And then when he puts his hand to it, what happens? He dies. He dead. Didn't work. The very thing that you got goosebumps about and joy in your heart and whatever else, the presence of the Lord you experienced this morning was the very thing that cannot be played with, cannot be touched. This is the system of worship that Moses is given instruction from God. Whose idea is the tabernacle they put together in the wilderness? It's God's idea. God gives them a picture. God shows them what to do. There is not creativity involved in this process. There is creation. Moses didn't get the idea himself. He received it from the Lord. And then the scripture says that God anointed with the spirit of wisdom a man named Bezalel. And this man was anointed by God to create all the things that Moses saw. Fast forward to David. David gets the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. He just had a friend die for breaking the rules. And David's bright idea is to pitch a tent in his backyard, put the Ark of the Covenant in there, and just open up the flaps and say, everybody come on in. The very thing that's opposite of what was being required. David's like, I know what we'll do. I'm going to go ahead and hire 288 singers and worshipers, and I'm going to surround God's presence with people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the next 40 years. What should have killed them doesn't. The presence of God gets unlocked, so all of Jerusalem gets to experience. And it ushers in an authority to Israel as a kingdom and the golden age of their rule in the world. You have David, think about this. David, who's this warrior, passionate worshiper, he does this tabernacle. It's called David's tabernacle. Do you know why? Because it wasn't God's idea. It was David's. But this creativity unlocked something. This is what's so sort of, it's a juxtaposition. You got to catch it. You need to hear it. We assume that we're supposed to obey the rules and that's the highest priority. But clearly to God, that's not the highest priority. The obeying of the rule. Okay, whoa, that was. Okay, that wasn't the highest priority. That was necessary because something else was missing. David comes along, this passionate worshiper, and he catches a glimpse of God's heart in a way that other people didn't see. Psalms 132 says this, that David refused to enter into his own house and rest until he found a resting place for the Lord. His heart was that he could establish a place where God could dwell with people. And this is what's so amazing, is that David caught a glimpse of God's heart who wants to be with humanity. God doesn't want to be separate from humanity. He wants to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And so David sees the heartbeat of God and the desire of God, the Father's dream, if you will. And what's he do? He goes ahead and he attempts to recreate what he knows is in God's heart. He creates an environment that embraces the desire of the Father's heart. It violates the laws, but it fulfills the desire. It's the first time in history that worship unlocks authority. All the worship up to this point are expressions of fulfillment of what God demanded. But when David creates the tabernacle, he co-creates with God an expression of God's heart. And we know that when you create something, it unlocks authority. And so quite literally, the worship of David's tabernacle was releasing authority to the nation of Israel. And that, my friends, is what is still available today to the body of Christ. This is why worship's so important. The worship that we present to the Lord, it's not meant to be cookie cutter. It's meant to have an expression of our hearts. But there's authority in our worship because there's an origination point. All right, elbow your neighbor and go, that was a good point. You should have said amen to that. I don't know what's going on with you today, but whoa. Pastor Jamie's preaching way better than you're letting on. All right, Psalms 84. How lovely are your dwelling places. What's the catalyst for creativity then, though? What causes you to experience this divine creativity? How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs and it yearns for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird has also found a house to swallow, the nest for herself, where she can dwell with her young. Even the altars, O Lord, my King, my God, how blessed are those who dwell in your house, for they're ever praising you. Those two words, longing and yearning. To long for something is to become pale. This is literally the definition. You imagine this, right? A person who is pale, who's pining after, who just can't live without. I need this thing. I'm longing for it. Yearning. Yearning is the end of a process. It is the desire for God's presence so intense on David that he can think of nothing else. He's stuck. It's the end of himself. He must have more or he cannot move forward. Have you ever been there? What if I told you that yearning and longing are the doorway that unlocks creativity and wisdom? I'll show you what I mean in a second here. David encounters the Lord at some point in his life and he goes, man, nothing else matters to me. I need presence. He's in the backfield with the sheep and he's worshiping the Lord on his harp. And something in his worship unlocks creativity and authority. How do we know there's authority? Because every time he gets around Saul, who's demonized, and he plays his harp, what happens? Drives demons out. So authority resting on David's worship. David is connected into this thing and he's longing for the Lord's presence in such a way that it becomes the catalyst moment that David's tabernacle is born out of. The longing to be in the Lord's presence leads him to create an environment where that's all we do. Your passionate pursuit of something and you love it so much that you go, I can't think of doing anything else with my life. I want to do that. That longing is what unlocks the way or the path for you to be able to do it the rest of your life. It is the state of longing that actually paves the way for you to start to have catalytic moments. The Lord wants to breathe on this thing in you, but it's going to necessitate a burning heart. I don't know what you burn for anything. Are we lukewarm or are we on fire? You remember what the Lord says about lukewarmness? Like, he doesn't like that thing. That apathetic thing, not good, because it doesn't do anything. It's just in the way, frankly. I heard Bill Johnson say this once, and I believe it, especially since I've, you know, been now in active ministry for this long. But the worst thing for the body of Christ is an apathetic leader. It's the worst thing. You'd think, oh, no, an evil leader. Nah, people recognize evil leaders and they stay away. No, an apathetic leader. It just wastes everyone's life. You're made for more. You're made to burn. You're made to be intensely passionate, and in that longing and that burning, God wants to release authority into your life. He wants to create pathways through you. He wants to release solutions to the world. But it won't happen by just sitting around on the couch. Mm-hmm. Okay. Something else happens to David. This is Psalms 119, verse 17. It says, deal bountifully with your servant, Lord, that I could live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I could behold wonderful things out of your law. I'm a stranger on the earth. Don't hide your commandments from me. Now look at this next phrase. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances. Do you know why you get revelation? I mean, not like the book of Revelation, like the end times. I mean, like God reveals things to you. You ever wondered why do some people like have God reveal stuff to them and other people don't? Like, God's always talking to you. Why doesn't he talk to me? You ever had that statement ever happen? Maybe? No? Bueller? Does God have favorites? Does he really just like that person more than you? No. Longing is a key to unlocking more. If you're still filled up on the evening news and your brain is filled up with all the bad news, how are you going to hear God talking about hope and what the future is supposed to look like? If you're convinced that the nation is going to hell in a handbasket, our kids are lost, everything is lost, then how can you be the one who brings the solution? You're not going to be the one who brings the solution unless you turn this cart around. Amen? Amen. Okay. Longing and yearning are a gateway that open the path. They're catalysts for creativity. Okay? So you're going to have to fan that flame. Another thing that happens that's interesting is another one of these catalysts is it has to do with learning. Everyone say learning. Okay, longing and learning. Learning is difficult for you. Your body, your brain consumes so much energy trying to pioneer a new pathway. Okay? Your brain wants to take the path of least resistance. Your body is conserving energy all the time. It doesn't want to spend extra energy for no reason. And so what takes place is that in the learning mode, in the gear where you're having to choose to open yourself up to change, where you're having to initiate energy because you're trying to pioneer something new in your thinking, that gear is the gear that opens the door to creative thinking. Now, hear me out. You are already spending the energy to learn something new. And when you're in that mode, this is where solutions become accessible and easy. Solutions to problems become accessible and easy to the person who is humble and continuing to learn. But this isn't just about information. I'm telling you, there's something supernatural about this. This is one of the gears. This is how the Lord unlocks solutions to people. You can't labor and force a God solution. That's not how it works. How hard do you think Joseph was working at getting a dream about how to fix Egypt's economy? Do you remember this story? Joseph is in prison. Everyone say prison. Okay, he was a slave, and then he got accused of rape, and he gets chucked in prison. He's done nothing wrong, but there he is, rotting in a cell. God is communicating to Egypt. And Pharaoh has this horrible situation. He has his dreams. And in the dreams, he realizes there's a famine coming. This is what Joseph tells him. There's a famine coming. You're going to have 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of drought. And the result will be that it'll be so bad, no one will remember the good days because it's going to be so bad. That's a problem. Anybody think that's a problem? That's a problem. Joseph, what's he do? He sleeps on it. He doesn't have any solutions. He doesn't work for it hard. God just gives him the solution. But how did the solution come? I'm telling you, it's from a place of rest. It's from a place of unlocking. It's not a place from forcing. It's not a place from laboring and sweating to achieve. It's not how you come up with solutions. You have to unlock your brain. Your brain is susceptible and open to receiving the solution when you're in the gear of learning. The energy it requires opens that doorway, and then the Lord can speak to you. Have you ever forgotten a name of somebody, and it's just on the tip of your tongue? It's like right there. You know this person. I mean, right now, you can imagine their face. You could describe them. You probably could even draw them. But for whatever reason, you can't think of their name. Nobody? Okay. But you know something. You know that when you just rest and you hang out, you're going to be having lunch, and what's going to happen? Bill! His name's Bill! How did I forget that? God wants to release wisdom. He is speaking to you all the time. There is communion with the Spirit. God is communicating, and he wants to release grace to you. You can create, if you co-create with him, solutions will come. It's this beautiful picture, but it's not a picture of sweating and working hard. It is a picture of resting and receiving. Creativity and learning share a common doorway. I've thought about this a lot. The process of the way that generations are meant to build upon one another, and that there is a progression to humanity, that God knows where this is going. And from the beginning, he determined our end. But the process of life and the generations between, we don't all just stand on our own. We're not individual like we're separated from other generations. In fact, we are meant to be connected and build upon what other people have started. God started here and he's ending there, and you and I are somewhere in between. And so this isn't about you heard God's voice correctly and you created and then you get to finish the race. We don't get to initiate and finish. You just have to embrace this because it's a reality. Your life, 70, 80, 120 years, I don't know, pick a number, okay? That's how long you're going to go. But the earth is going to go longer than you. And God's ways and his will are going to go longer than you. But in the in-between, we have an opportunity. And this is the other catalyst for creativity, okay? We have longing, we have learning, and the last piece is we have honoring. Because you don't have to have all the good ideas. You actually can just go ahead and walk in someone else's idea. And creativity that unlocks authority can be accessed through honor. Dishonor won't work. You can't go, well, they're wrong, I'm right, and then end up further ahead. That's not how it works. But where God initiated something through Abraham, he's fulfilling even in our days. And that if I will honor what God's done in the past, then there is the opportunity for generational thinking from the end, from the beginning, to allow us and the creative endeavors to be maximized over the course of multiple generations. We get to stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. But I don't have access to this unless I humble myself and I am willing to learn. And I'm telling you, think about this. Let's say you started a company. It's yours. It's your baby. You worked so hard on this thing, right? You grew it. It succeeded. And you're let's say you're coming to the end of your work days. You're coming to the end of that season of life. I don't know, whatever that is for you. You know, I feel like that number keeps, Uncle Sam goes ahead and just pushes that can down the road, right? He just kicks it a little bit further. Like, when do you get to retire? Let's say, though, that you're coming to the end of that season, okay? You're coming into that season, and you have labored, and you've worked, and you've built something. You're proud of it. It's created something. You did this thing, and it's producing God stuff, and it's wonderful. But you're looking at the end of your work days, and there's nobody there to pick up the baton. Do you think an owner, someone who has labored like this, poured their life into something, co-created with God, is just going to pass it off to the 20-something-year-old who is unwilling to learn, who has no fire or passion for the business, and has no honor for your voice? How does something that started in God get passed on if we don't have someone who is honoring, learning, and longing to see this thing go forward? Do you see how they go hand in hand? It cannot just be one generation. It has to be multiple generations. The older generation created amazing things. We've planted churches, we've birthed businesses, we've created inventions. The world progressed on the back of this last generation. But the young ones that are standing up, we have to help. The body of Christ has got to invigorate and help our young ones start to create themselves. This thing, honoring the previous generation and grabbing that baton, walking together for a season so that they can be propelled into success, this thing is supposed to increase in momentum, not diminish. And if we're looking at a season right now where we're watching, I don't know, it's like 50% or something like that, if there's certain denominations that literally 50% of the churches have closed in the last season. There's consequences. Young people, if I could just lay hands on you and impart something, it would be these three things. That you would long for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That you would kick into learning gear. I love how smart we've got. We have gotten really smart because of the tools that have been provided to us. Technology is incredible. Access to information. You have it all at your fingertips, young people. So you don't have to learn. But if you don't learn, you're going to miss out on the authority that God's trying to give you. If you don't honor and value what other people have walked in, and you don't partner with the older generation, you're not going to know what to envision because you won't know their dreams. But vision comes from the dreams of fathers. If you're unwilling to learn, if you're not honoring, if you're not yearning or longing for more of God, then where are we going? Man, there's right now, I truly believe that any one of you, could choose today, I am going to get intensely passionate about missions or about anything. And you could give birth to the next move of God. I mean, it's just right there, accessible. One song, you're one song away from your whole life changing. You're one invention away, one idea away, you are just that close to everything changing and kicking off a move of God. Right there. But it won't come through lukewarmness. It won't come through pride. We got to go low and get hungry and be willing to risk, be willing to partner with people. Is anybody alive today? Man, I can burn for this one all by myself, but I would much rather do this in a company of people. So where are my church planters at? Where are my up-and-coming pastors? Where are you at? Come on, come get you some. I'm running. I got a baton. You want this one? You better catch up. Come on. I love me some pat. All right. Yeah. Come on. Jesus, get her. Just get her, Lord. Listen to me. Sorry. Yikes. Jesus. Church, we are in this transition season that I'm just going to say it the way I see it, and you take it or leave it. It's up to you. I had an encounter. I had a vision one time. Okay, I was in prayer. I was seeking the Lord about the next generation, which I do. I pray for your kids probably stronger than I pray for you. Sorry. I'm praying for your families. I want to see the next generation succeed. This is a passionate message. You know that, okay? I was praying for our kids. I'm praying for the next generation. And I saw this picture. I saw a field, a harvest field, okay? And at one point, this field was ravaged by demonic stuff. And there were seeds, demonic ideas, just evil that corrupted a generation. And as a result, and I'll just take an issue. Let's take a single issue. Let's talk about like abortion. Okay? There's no question that the loss of life has been catastrophic to humanity. To take the life of a child, not okay. It's pretty easy from the outside of this intentional taking of life to go, man, I think that's evil. You alive? Yeah. Okay. I'm wondering now which room I'm sitting in right now. I'm in a church, yeah? Okay. All right. But where there have been issues in the last generation that were sown into culture and have resulted in evil, have resulted in the breakdown of the family, have resulted in brokenness in ways that are injurious. They really have damaged society and people. There's those kinds of issues were sown demonically into the previous generation. Not everything that came out of the 60s was good. That was a joke. You got that one? Okay. Okay, this is the picture I saw. I saw the older generation. I'll say older because it was. It was those who suffered under that experience, rallying and fighting to get that thing out of society. And so the older generation battling. We need a law that removes abortion. We need to fight against this thing. We need to rally. And there is this war that's been kindled in the hearts of those who that was the issue that came against their generation. Yeah? Do you know that the young people, 20-somethings, they're not passionate about the same issues you are? They're not. And while the older, hear my heart, please. While the older is battling to overcome the evil that was sown into their generation and we're warring against this thing, while our attention is all on the issues of yesteryear, demons have been sowing new issues into the young generation, unchecked. Completely unchecked. And the body of Christ is just clueless to the evil that's being sown in to kids. And so we have a war that's being conducted over here, and we're battling against all this evil, and right under our noses over here, the enemy's taking it to our kids, and they're going to have battles to fight for the next 50 years. Why? Because the parents were too focused on their own issues. And we need creative authority to undo all this mess. So we have to, body of Christ, old, young. We need to labor together. We need to look at the call of God in the previous generation. And young people, you're called to pick up the baton. You're not supposed to start from square one. Why are you trying to do your own thing? Humble yourself and learn and receive and honor. And out of that, you'll have your own creative ideas. We are not our own. If we're gonna succeed, if we're gonna see the harvest come in this generation, we gotta take our eyes off of just the evil stuff. We need to start creating. I'm telling you, the solution is in the creative. It's in the birthing of, it's the bringing forth. Are you alive? All right. I'm going to end this sucker. I went over. You're good. Would you stand to your feet today? Don't worry. We got multiple weeks coming. I didn't get to the point, so it's fine. If you want notes, we can get them to you, I guess. Would you put a hand on your own heart here? We're just kind of rolling with it today. You're okay? Hopefully I didn't offend you too much. The issues that we face, the solutions are in the Lord. The grace that we need is being provided. God is with us, y'all. We are not alone in this journey. You are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, those who went before us and have passed on, and the cloud of witnesses of those who are here. And in that cloud of witnesses, there is a rally cry, there is intercession, and there's an understanding that the Lord is for us, that they are cheering us on to run our race. And so, Lord, today I'm asking great grace, speak great grace to each heart, each life, that they would walk in these things. God, I pray that you would fan the flame in each one, that it would go from a spark to a roaring fire of passion and yearning and longing for the things of God. I pray, Lord, that you would cause creativity to be unlocked in ways that we could not have imagined. I pray, Lord, that you would drop a creativity bomb, wisdom in us, Lord. God, I thank you that there's authority in the worship at this house, and there's authority in the create. Lord, there's authority in the wisdom that's being released. God, I thank you that in our day that we will see a harvest. So Lord, I bless this people. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's countenance be towards you. May he be gracious to you. May he grant you his peace. You would live in it. You would walk, advance his kingdom all the days of your life. I bless you, church. I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And if anyone dared to agree with that, you said, amen. Come on, can we give a good clap to the Lord today?
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. It's our hope that God touched your life in a truly meaningful way. And if you were impacted, please let us know by writing a review or share it with friends. If you'd like more information on The House Church, we would love to connect you with our community. Please visit us at ithehouse.org for more information. We'll see you next week.